E.F. Hutton and Company was the first American, not first, American stock exchange that firm that was founded in 1904 by the Edward Francis Hutton. This firm was best known for its commercial in 1970s and 1980s. You guys remember? Some of you guys remember that. If you remember that, you're pretty much dating yourself all the way back. It is known for that slogan, when E.F. Hutton talks, everybody and people listen, right? We all admit that it was a very, very effective commercial. And they were the second largest stock brokerage firm in the United States for several decades until it was merged to Citigroup. Why would people listen to the E.F. Hutton when he talks? Because he has something worthwhile for the investors to listen to. But what God says to us is a far more important, far greater than E.F. Hutton would, or anyone for that matter, would ever come up with. So when God talks, people should listen. People should listen. However, the vast majority of people don't even pay attention, let alone listen to him. Rather, they rather listen to Satan, and then they ruin their own lives. The verb hear or listen is used about nearly 100 times in this book alone. Hear, listen. If you've been listening to the Charles Stanley, and he will repeat this word very often, listen, listen, and that's his favorite thing. And he sometimes uses it several times within one phrase. He used it for 100 times in this book, and traditional Jewish confession of faith, which is known as the Shema, start with this very word. Let's keep your finger in chapter 4 and go to chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, please. And in verse 4, I'm sure you guys know this by heart. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You guys know this because Jesus himself quote this. So here in Israel, Hebrew word, the Shema is more than hearing a sound that travels a wave of a frequency within the hearing range of our ears. It means hear to understand, hear to obey. It's not just hear, like our teenager's kid, yeah, and goes in, goes out. It's not like that. Or having a selective hearing. What it meant is hear to understand, hear to obey. To the Old Testament Jews and the New Testament Christians, the commandment of God should be more than sound waves impacting our ears. Hearing God's word is a matter of focusing our whole being, that is our mind and soul and strength. And it should become our part of being to change our lives. That is what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew chapter 11 verse 5, "He who has the ears, let him hear." And he repeated this for 6 times in the gospel, 4 gospels. Maybe he's trying to tell us something, right? We are not getting it a lot of times, but he's trying to say, listen to me. It will change your life. It will give you a blessing. Hearing and obeying the word of God is the very life of Israeli people, and it should be very life for us as well. And, Sunday morning when I teach all you guys a little bit different group, because you guys are kind of hardcore Christians to come to midweek,
I wasn't doing
it. I still have a gun. just passing by. On Sunday morning when I teach, I can pick pick out those people who has a glaze over their eyes. And some of them go like this. And you know what? If I can see their eyelid shut, sometimes I get so tempted to call out their name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we study this book tonight, let us not just hear your word. Let deeply impact our heart, change our heart, change our life, our lives, that we may no longer just nonchalant Christian, but sold out Christian. Let our heart and mind and soul and strength be completely consumed for the love of Jesus Christ. Speak to us tonight. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgment which I teach you to observe. Of course, of Moses speaking. By the way, if you think I go on long, this guy goes on for 31 chapters nonstop. So don't ever tell me that I'm long-winded, okay? Which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandment of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at the Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. You see, many people think that obeying the Lord's commandment is burdensome. It should be our joy and privilege when we realize His commandment is the expression of His love and the assurance of His strength, an invitation to His blessing and opportunity to grow and bring Him glory. Our response to the obeying His commandment opens the door into the treasury of His unending grace. All we have to just respond to Him. He's there to bless us. He's not there to hurt us. In verse 2, go back to verse 2, please. You shall not add the word which I command you or take it from it. Of course, this, I'm sure you, some of you, many of you guys remember in last chapter of the book of Revelation. And He said, do not take the word out of this book or nor add. And remember, you guys, the collection. You know, time to time, I see that some of the ministry names, the name after a person. I know, including Billy Graham. Is it Billy Graham's ministry or is it God's ministry? Maybe I have some issue with that kind of thing, but it's God. Nobody's irreplaceable. God alone is God, and He alone must be glorified. God is jealous over His people the way the husband is jealous over his wife and the mother over her children. And He wants the very best for us, but when we deliberately go our own way, we grieve His heart and miss all He wants to do for us. We are the one who is missing out, not Him. Isaiah 42, please. Where is Isaiah? Before what? Very good. 42 verse 8. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Now from chapter 5 in verse 7, we find ourselves looking at Ten Commandments again, which we studied in Exodus chapter 20. And why do we need to go do this over again? Because number one, because it's in the Bible. Number two, we don't get it. We don't practice often enough. So let's start at the verse 7. It says, You shall have no other God before me. The first commandment logically flows from the understanding of who God is, what He has done for us. See, nothing is to come before God, and He is the only God we worship and serve. What about the ministry we do for God? Do you know how many Christians, devoted Christians, they are so much into, including pastors, they are so much into ministries, they often forget their own relationship with God. They often forget that cultivating that personal time with God through the Word. Ministry is great, but it's not as important as your own relationship with God. If you don't have that time with God, if you don't cultivate that time, if you don't spend time with God in prayer, in reading the Word, we don't get it. Pastors has a typical attitude, you know, well, I'm studying for Sunday, I'm studying for the midweek. That's my prayer time, my study time, my devotional time. No, it's not. We can easily make an excuse, but that's study time. I have to have my own time. First thing in the morning, I gotta have spend the time in the Word. Otherwise, my day hall goes so bad. Did I do that from the beginning in 1987? No, it took a while for me to get used to that track. It's more than routine. It's just part of my life. Second commandment, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8. Let's go there. Chapter 5, verse 8. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. See that this commandment does not forbid making the image for the artistic purpose. I've talked with a person who thinks that anything to do with the image of, you know, picture of Jesus or the film of Jesus is all wrong. Well, if that's the case, then God is wrong. Because God told Israeli people how to make a cherubim on the top of the Ark of Covenant. Did he not? He did. He did not forbid them making an image for the artistic purpose, but he forbid us worshiping that object. Roman Catholic, this is something very important that you may not know. Roman Catholic Church has left this second command completely out. In order to justify their way to pray to the statues and divide the tenth commandment into two. Did you know that? They left. When you have a chance, get on Google. Get on Google and the Catholic Ten Commandments. When you look for the second commandment, you don't find this one. They conveniently take this out. Remember what just the commandment of God said? Do not take the word out of this book. Did he not? According to Ezekiel chapter 18, the Lord does not punish children for the sake of grandchildren, for the sake of the ancestors' sin. But he can permit the sad consequences of their sin to affect the future generation, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. For example, if the a man, he was sexually active, illicitly sexually active, and he had many sex with many different people, and he has disease, and his children will be affected. And if he has the AIDS virus, children who are born, newborn babies will have AIDS. If the person uses a drug, and that will affect the children. See, since the Eastern people, when I was growing up in Korea, it was not unusual for the grandpa, grandma and grandpa in the house, and father and mother, and the children all live in the same house. Or sometimes the uncle will come over and they live in the same house. It's not unusual for the three or four generations living in the same house. That means the elder person, elder member of the family will have a tremendous influence to the younger ones, good or evil. But the Lord can bless the successive generation of the people who honor and obey the Lord. Some Bible teachers who are involved in the faith movement often use this verse as a basis for their generational curse. How many of you guys heard this generational curse doctrine? Because your parents did wrong, you're damned, you're cursed. It is a wrong doctrine, according to Ezekiel chapter 18. So let's move down to the third commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold guiltless who takes his name in vain. See, using profanity is not the only way to break this commandment. If we used his name in a superficial way or the hypocritical way, this also breaks the commandment. What am I talking about? If I say, well, I swear to God. Number one, we are not supposed to swear to God, his name, right? Just say yes, be yes, no, be no, right? Right? You guys awake?
Yes.
Okay. Huh? Good. So don't use God's name in vain in a superficial way or hypocritical way. While we were at the conference, I didn't hear that because I was running around trying to make a contact with a bunch of manufacturers. Karen heard this. There are a group of people in front of us, and there are three or four guys using just about any kinds of foul language and profanity. It's a guy's talk. You know that. And somebody was passing by, and this guy said, God bless you. They just used the F word, and GD this, JC that, and then somebody passing by, and they talk with them, and they say, God bless you. That's a hypocritical way. That's a superficial way. Oh, I listened to the Chuck Swindoll, and he was telling the incident. He was in the airplane, and this guy was just drinking cocktail like a nothing, and he was using foul language, opening these Playboy magazine. And so what do? And Chuck Swindoll said, I'm a pastor. And he was holding this cocktail. Oh, I don't know why she gave this to me. Yeah. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and you guys know this thing, you don't even need to turn. This is the pattern that God, the Lord Jesus, told us to use, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, what does it say? What does it mean? Is it hollow? Is it empty? No. Holy is his name. Do not use God's name in vain. So as of tonight, you do not use God's name in vain, not only profanity, superficial way, or hypocritical way. You with me? Okay. Fourth commandment. Verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commands you. See, the nine of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament epistles for the churches to obey, with the exception of the fourth commandment about the Sabbath day. Why? Because the Sabbath day limited to Israel only. That's between God and him and them. And the people will say, well, Sabbath day is coming from the seventh day of the creation. Yes, that's correct. But the initiation coming from Passover, correct? And he's telling us the seventh day you will rest. If he did not give them a pattern to worship God, stop doing everything whatever you've been doing and worship God, and they would go on. After all, they are Jews. They work hard, right? Every day they will continue to ignore the God, and they will work and they will forget about God. So God had to show them. Now, Sabbath day is especially given for the sign between God and Israel. And believers today, we have a rest in Jesus Christ. So we no longer have to follow the Sabbath day. See, the well-meaning Christians, some people will say, well, Christian Sabbath is a Sunday. That's incorrect. Number one, Sabbath day is a Sabbath day. It's a Saturday, no matter how you want to change it. Sabbath symbolizes Old Testament covenant, old covenant law. You labor 6 days and you rest at the end of the day, a Saturday. But the Lord's Day, Sunday, is the beginning of the day of the week, and you worship the Lord, then we work the rest of the week. It's a different. Both Sabbath and the Lord's Day emphasize the importance of devoting one day out of the seven to the Lord in worship and service. Every day belongs to the Lord, correct? Every day belongs to the Lord. In many cases, these people just become legalistic ones to show off how spiritual they are over others. I've seen and I met some people say, well, I'm not doing, they're Christian. They are Christian, but they said, well, it's the Sabbath. We are going to observe the Sabbath. And then they don't come to Sunday church. I thought, that makes sense. Go to Romans chapter 14, please. Apostle Paul knew this kind of thing is going to happen, so he dealt with this thing exclusively. Chapter 14, verse 5. You there yet? One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, observe it to the Lord. Did you get the emphasis? To the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, and to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eat to the Lord, and for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and give God thanks. Everything for the Lord, and give thanks to him. Right? Yeah. Do you know when my Sabbath is? Monday. That's my day off. Tuesday is my work day because I run around like a chicken head cut off. Yeah, I run around and clean up the mess the Jack Labadie made. Verse 16. Honor your mother, father, and mom. Mama. In redneck term, honor your ma and pa, right? Too many people today's society and worship youth, and they despise the aging process, and they try to be abusive and neglect. And they even use a term, fancy term, assist suicide, euthanasia. Well, guess what? Good old America trying to do that. with health care by Obama. Verse 17, you shall not murder. Some wondered how God can approve capital and punishment and mentioned in Exodus 19 verse 12 and this verse, the commandment, you shall not murder. See, there is a distinct difference between kill and murder. Kill is different than murder. Murder is taking a life without a legal justification. Execution after due process is different. That is a killing. And the moral justification, killing in defense for self or others. Killing is much, much different than murdering. Murdering is pretty much cold-blood murder. Making sense? Now you can explain to those tree huggers? What's the difference between the execution and the murder? Next commandment. Verse 18. You shall not commit adultery. It calls for the sexual purity and honoring the marriage as God appointed the way for the proper use of the enjoyment of human sexuality. In ancient Israel, adultery was considered a capital crime. Boy, if that was still in the case, there would be so many dead bodies. There wouldn't be any soap opera, right? It's hardly considered a sin. Let alone, it's not considered a crime. Actually, it's highly encouraged. Having sex before marriage and having sex outside of marriage is highly encouraged and special for this carnal world. Look at the tabloid in the checkout stand. What's the common denominator? Sex. And you watch sitcom, if there's anything other than object of sex, it's nothing much. Yep, exactly. See, God can forgive the sexual sin, but He does not promise to interfere the painful consequences. If somebody commits adultery, there is a consequences to follow. And God may not rescue from that kind of thing. It's disgusting how the media glorifies sex outside of and turn the fornication and adultery into some sort of a fancy enlightened entertainment. There's nothing to glorify about that. Verse 19. Thanks for the encouragement. Verse 19, you shall not steal. God is concerned not only about the way we live and the way we treat others, and He is also concerned about the way we treat other people's property. If you didn't get whatever you think you can give legally, it is stealing and it does not honor the Lord. No exception. No exception. If it's not yours, you didn't buy it legally, you didn't get it legally, it is stealing. Verse 20, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We can break ninth commandment through the slander, talebearing, also known as gossip, creating false impression, or simply by silence. I will explain to you. By questioning motives behind someone's action, or even by flattery. See, the slander is a lie indented and spread with the intent to do harm. There's nothing good in the slander. Intent to do harm. This is the worst form of injury a person can do to another, far worse than physical harm. Second thing I'd like to bring you to attention is a tale-bearing or gossip. Gossip is repeating report about a person without a careful investigation. How many people, especially Christian people, rebelled this and delight in working havoc by telling tales about others. Guess what? The biggest subject of church gossip is the pastor. How do I know? It never happened to me before, you know? Only person who doesn't carry the weapon is a worship leader. All right, what about the inappropriate silence? This also can bring forth doubt about the person whose name was just mentioned to the listener. Let me make an example. Let's say Bill.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay.
Let's use
Bill. Okay. Bill came to me, and he doesn't know about Jack Laverty. So what do you think about Pastor Jack? I would say,
that's all I needed. Thank you.
Sometimes that's all you need, right? And I can say, well, technically I did not gossip. Make sense? But it doesn't matter what kind of what we say or what we don't say. If we don't clarify the air, we are still doing the same thing as tale-bearing and gossiping and slandering. The last commandment, 10th commandment, in verse 21. Let's go back. My book is not turned to the right place. Am I putting you to sleep, Bill?
No.
As soon as you fall asleep, we're going to talk about you. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. By the way, in Catholic Bible, 10th commandment, and this is the 9th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. 10th commandment is you shall not desire the rest of it. They split this into, as I mentioned before. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house or his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This commandment and the first commandment deal with the inward attitude rather than outward action, but breaking either of these two commandments could lead to breaking all the rest of them. Because the covetousness, people have robbed, committed adultery, lied, and even murdered. If we obey the first commandment and truly love God and worship only Him, the covetousness wouldn't be a problem at all. Am I correct? Christian who depends on the indwelling Holy Spirit and lived by the law of love don't need the Ten Commandments, because we already following the what God is telling us to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the God is trying to tell us. That's what Holy Spirit, indwelling Holy Spirit is telling us to do. When we do those things, if we love our neighbors, we will not commit adultery with any of them. We will not kill them. We will not steal anything. We will not have a covetousness in our heart. Now, of course, we will honor our mother and father. All nature knows have no laws. Let me say one more time. All nature have no laws. But the new nature needs no laws. Let me say one more time. Old nature knows no law, but the new nature needs no law. There is probably the law in every city about the caring for the children. Parents don't have to worry about whether I'm going to go to jail or not if I don't take care of my kid. Parents care for the children because they love them. Once we love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we want to please Him, we will do what is right in His sight. We don't have to worry about the law. That's why we are free from the law. See, many churches today have lost the biblical concept of majesty and authority of God as expressed in His law. This deficiency has cheapened our worship and turned evangelism into the religious salesmanship and convert Bible into self-help book that guarantee that make you success. And one good example is the faith movement. If you are not wealthy and healthy, you don't have faith in God. Tell me that is not a salesmanship is. Yeah. And Joel Osteen is deeply into this thing. Let's make application number one. Unless we are separated people, devoted wholly to the Lord, we can never follow His example. Unless we are separated, that means sanctified, unless we are devoted, we cannot follow His example. Second application, obedience is always a matter of heart. It's not a matter of what we say, it's a matter of heart. If we love the Lord, we will keep His commandment, according to the book of John. Agree? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. 10 commandments that give us the 2 commandments in our heart. Love You with all of our heart and all of our soul, all of our strength. And love our neighbors, including the one whom we don't care for, or the one who don't like us. Let us be more like Jesus Christ and less like ourselves. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.